Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with each of us. Guide and direct us in our understanding. That is Christ honoring. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, yesterday I thought this broadcast was going to be about Christ's church and His pastors, but a different direction developed this morning. So I have had thoughts about our society because of what I see, what I've been hearing, and from that I know that there could be some real problems coming along. And I know that plenty of people also have this concern. And let us remember to pray for each other and pray for the Church of Jesus and to pray for the pastors that are Christian also. Let's also pray for the political authorities that they may turn from their political ways and become a true follower of Jesus Christ. Our country has so many, well, they're troubles, really. And if you look at the big picture of what's going on with society, with the monetary system. I do look at the monetary. I think of Robert Kiyosaki, who I like. He wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad in 1997. And one reason I like him is because he has an independent thought process. And there are so many other people who have talked about the coming economic crises, but he did not until recent weeks ago. And he warned about a crisis occurring in October of this year, that is, this month. Now, perhaps it's true, and perhaps it is not true. October has a history of having a bad economic things happen in October. So that was a part of his reasoning. And, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But for me, I have seen historical patterns, and I have thought that a crisis could come at any time. But I've pretty much been wrong. We did have the 2008 event, and that was a crisis, all right. But there's other people who have seen a crisis coming, well, lots of the time, and I have thought they've had sound reasoning. But, as I say, it has not come yet. I have been wrong about the timing, but that Robert Kiyosaki says, look out for a collapse this month, October. So that raises my concerns. I do watch the different signals that people talk about things. I kind of laugh at the Q posts. They talk about a collapse and have for a long time. I don't exactly take them too seriously, but I do still listen. I hear what they say. There's plenty of room for big uncertainty all around us in society. Of course, we have to pay attention to the spiritual battle. We have to know that we are in a great spiritual battle, and there are some very dark spiritual forces that want to see humanity suffer. And that's something we can put into our thought process and consider. So many events in history are seen as an accidental occurrence, something that just happened, and we don't know why. But I also have heard people talk about how an event that nobody could have planned was actually a planned event. And I think of President Franklin Roosevelt. 5 years before he was president, he said, "If it happens in politics, you can be sure that it was planned just the way it happened." So there are people who do see that there is a plan and things happen like that. It's just that he was the first one I heard say it. I mean, I heard him in writing, not in person. I do read those things. I remember a quote from President Wilson. In his memoirs, he said, "Since I entered politics, I have had men's views confided in me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of something. They know that it is a power somewhere. It's so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." So it's the idea that there really are forces out there. We don't know what they are. We can't identify them clearly, except that they're evil. It's a part of that battle between good and evil, and it has taken place all over. The roots are everywhere, and speaking of that President Woodrow Wilson, when he was the guy who helped the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 to pass. And there was another quote that he had. It came out of his memoirs about the 1913 Federal Reserve Act. He said he had unwittingly ruined his country. So it's an example of historical things happening and us not realizing the truth of things or the truth of there being a plan in this great big battle between darkness and light, between evil and good. And there are so many stories of both righteous and unrighteous leaders going back in our history books and going back in our Bibles that we ought to not be surprised at what is going on today, right in front of us. We see the evil going on. We see the good going on. And our Bible does remind us that this is a battle for our eternal soul and that the devil wants to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us. And that should be enough to get our attention so that we can just recognize that indeed we must be careful. We must promote and live for the goodness of God. That is what we do, is we recognize the great battle that is going on around us, that spiritual battle, And that is why we need Jesus to watch over us. He watches over his own. So let us belong to him. Yes, let's show that we belong to him by how we live. Well, a battle is going on. The battle here in America, it's taking place. And if you look at the history, you can see that there have been books and videos, especially in the last 20 years, written about the beginning of America. And if it was a Christian, godly nation, or if it was a ungodly pagan nation. It's evidence of the battle. And we have to look into history to recognize that there really is that battle going on, and it still is. So we need to pray as much as we can for goodness to dominate our lives. Well, the battle continues, and our prayers are powerful in the effect on the world around us. I remember Southwest Radio Church's Noah Hutchings, when he was with that broadcast, he always closed his broadcast with "Prayer changes things." And it does. It does. We know it does. We've all seen the effects, if we bother to look, about how our prayers have changed situations and lives, and sometimes they happen immediately and sometimes over time. James 5:15 tells us we are to pray for people who need healing. Ephesians 6:18 talks about we should pray for all the saints. So how are we doing at praying? And praying for the land, and praying for our family and friends and ourselves. How are we doing at praying? I know there is plenty to distract us each and every day, but when we see how important it is to pray, I think we do, I hope we do, pray more than we used to. I know, let's see, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says to pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 is about praying without ceasing. And I do think it's interesting when you get testimony of people who talk about prayer having an effect in the lives of people around them. How many times have we heard a testimony where somebody says they were saved because of their praying grandmother or something like that? Somebody prayed for them, and finally they became a follower of Christ. Well, it is interesting to realize that we are in that battle against our prayer, and there is a battle to occupy our mind with events of the day, with a song on the radio, or with a sporting event, or being caught up in the news of the day. All these things take up our mind. They occupy our thoughts. They cloud our awareness. And that makes it so that we pray less than we could otherwise. So just think about praying. I know there's people who are having problems sometimes. They have an illness, or they might be in the hospital or out of the hospital. I think about elderly people. I think about opportunities that we all have for praying, including when we're driving. Well, whatever it is, as those thoughts come into your head, I do hope you pray. Pray for the people. Pray for what concerns you. Pray for yourself. Always good to pray. Well, let's see. A couple of minutes ago, I talked about a monetary crisis, and that is something I have half my eye on because I've had that training in life. So I look at monetary things, and I do think about what would happen if we did have a crash. And, oh, I have noticed some big money people talking about a crash is coming. I have to think it still is, but I do marvel at the people who've said it and it's still not here, that there was a Baron Rothschild. He said that the biggest crash in history of the world is coming. And there's Ray Dalio about a year ago. Now, Ray Dalio is a money man for sure. He has a net worth of something like $17 billion. And he said, cash is trash, about a year ago. So that's something that there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions. And, there's another billionaire, Steve Cohen. He said a financial earthquake is coming. A lot of people say that. And so if we have a little preparation for that just in case, I say, yeah, let's look. There's that financial author, James Rickards. He said, get ready. A crash is coming. So it's something that people are talking about still, even though it hasn't actually arrived. We know that it just could happen. And then there's the people who say, don't worry, everything will be fine. Let's see. Jay Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, says that. Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary, says that. So we have to figure, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to believe? Well, I hope you pray about it and get some guidance, because there's a lot of people seeing that big changes are coming, and that's something surely to look at. America has a lot going on in it, and we have beliefs changing between the older people, the middle people, and the younger people. And I see the people, way people talk all the time. It's turned into a progressive nation where, well, people just have ideas that are bordering on socialism. And a lot of the progressives think that everybody should pay more taxes so that the poor people can get more benefits. Money is going to run out, and then we will have a crisis. And nobody knows when that is. But a lot of people see that it's coming. So put a little thought and a little effort into what would happen if there was a collapse. What would you need? Think about just those basic needs to get by for a few days or a few weeks or something, a few months. And I know there's people who say, oh, if it crashes, you're going to need a few years of supplies. Well, that may be true, and we may all become farmers. It's just possible. But there are a lot of people. This COVID problem is causing a lot of people to be concerned. And we see that there's thousands of professional airline pilots that are quitting their job instead of getting the vaccination. And there's many thousands, tens of thousands of nurses and doctors and medical people who are saying they will walk away from their job instead of getting that COVID vaccination. So it's another indication that things are changing and they could change. And again, we don't know how, but let's do the little preparation thing. Prepare for the just in case. We all have a different idea for how that preparation goes. So just do the preparation you are comfortable with. I know there's people who are concerned, and it just happened that about a week ago, I had two conversations with two different people. Both of them were Native Americans, men who didn't know each other. But I get surprised at the people who I get into conversations with, and they were both of the opinion that this country was going to split into two camps. The camps of those who will conform and the camps of those who will not conform. And the non-conforming people are getting more and more certain that they will not conform. Therefore, there would be a fight to remain free in America. Both of these men had been in the armed forces, and so they knew about fighting. They knew what military was about. And it kind of surprised me, even though they both thought about the needs that we have. Neither one of them was especially concerned about food, because they said, oh, they could acquire it. And I thought about, in the military, what happens? All their food needs are taken care of. They don't have to think about food. So I wondered if not thinking about food was a part of their training, or if they really felt that they could get food if they needed it. Good question, and I don't know really the answer, because we have been trained that it is so easy to get food anytime we want. We get it at the fast food place, or we get it at the grocery store. But if we were to have a crisis, food would be essential. And you look at what's going on with our supply chain. Food is getting in short supply. So you put that into your thought process also. I hope you do. A lot of people think, oh, if my relatives survived, I can survive. And oh, both of these Native American men, they had that in their thought process too. But it's not easy to live off the land. And if you look at history, it bears that out. And even though our relatives did survive some pretty awful things, I don't think too many of us would survive so well if we had to go barefoot like the soldiers did under George Washington in Valley Forge. So we have barefoot. That reminds me that all of our army boots, all of our military boots are made in China. And I think if we had a conflict with China, I don't think they would continue to supply our military boots or anything else for that matter. But I just think the whole thing's interesting. China is not a friend to its enemies, that's for sure. I think of that thing that went on about a week ago where China sent, 60, 80, somewhere between 60 and 90 military fighting planes and military bombers right into Taiwan's airspace. And that could become something. And another little factor in that whole conflict is that the United States has sent 3 aircraft carrier groups into the northern Pacific Ocean. Well, will a war be coming? Or are those just rumors of war? We have questions, don't we? Again, another reason that I think it's good to have some preparation. You can figure out what that preparation is, but go ahead, please look into it. I think it's a good idea. We all struggle with trying to figure out what is going on. There are indicators for all sorts of things, and I don't think we quite know. I know there are people who think about that. Remember, about 2.5 years ago, there was the Jade Helm operation, and they said this is a preliminary to martial law. That's what some people said, and perhaps Jade Helm was an operation that was a preliminary to martial law in America. We are still searching out what did happen and what could happen. And that seems to be our life. What did happen and what could happen. And that's going on even with the vaccine today. We're trying to figure out what went on and what could go on. And there are people who say they are looking at the science, but there are different scientists say with different approaches. And different arguments even about what is in that vaccine. There are doctors who say they have performed spectrum analysis and found graphene oxide in it. And that that vaccine will eliminate half of your white blood cell count. There are doctors who say there's 15,000 who died from the vaccine. 45,000 died. It's just the ideas are quite varied for what has happened. And there's a little bit of truth in all of it. The fact is that we do not know the facts. So, a lot of people are refusing that vaccine. And remember, somebody just said, it was the president who said that our military will be required to take the vaccine, and if they do not take it, they will get a dishonorable discharge. You just have to notice things are going on, and you have to ask, what does it mean? Why are we forbidden from opposing the vaccine? You know, on social media, you're very limited about what you say about that vaccine. Why is there such a great lack of transparency? Why is there such a great lack of information? There are doctors who say this. There's doctors who say that. I was listening last week to Dr. Christine Northrup, and she was saying that the vaccine will cause your body to create COVID-19 spike proteins. And then you get something like a super cell that is close to what a cancer cell does. Oh, there's lots of alternative views, and it's good to look at them. Look up Peter McCullough also. He's a physician. There's researchers who say this, who say that, and we all get to make a decision. We get to wonder, why did Congress in 1986 give vaccine companies immunity from any harm that their vaccines caused? Well, we have things going on. We're trying to figure them out. And I know there's plenty of people who will say, what's wrong with vaccines? I got them when I was a kid. And you know what? We did. The older people today would get 5 vaccines, would get 10 vaccines before they were age 18. But nowadays, children are getting 60 or 70 vaccines. Now, the vaccines are given often in multiple vaccinations. So it's not that they're getting 60 or 70 shots, but if you take the ingredients separately, there would be 60 or 70 of them. So it makes quite a difference when you think about taking 5 or 10 vaccines or 60 or 70. I do hope you look into vaccines. I know I did, and I was shocked by my research. there's all sorts of ingredients in them that you would not want to put in your child's body. They use words to disguise the ingredients. You might have to look up words like diploid or bovine or whatever there are. There are words that tell you that there was material that was grown on cows and pigs and chickens and aborted baby organs. It's just shocking. But like I said, I hope you do look, and you will get a real different observation when you try to understand the words that you didn't used to know. So I would never put a vaccine into a baby now that I have looked into it. I wouldn't put one into me. So you just have to look at these things and try to figure it out for yourself. I know that there's plenty of people who talk about all these things having an effect on America. There's plenty of people who are talking with the idea that America is now under judgment and that hard consequences will soon be coming upon America. Well, I guess I kind of think so too. On the September 25th, 2021 broadcast of Christ Today, I did talk about God's foresword judgments that are in Ezekiel 14, 12 and following. Ezekiel 14, 12 was not a fun one to talk about, but I sure felt called to talk about it. Ezekiel 14, verse 13 tells about those foresword judgments of God that came upon ancient Israel. And perhaps you're one of those who could understand that America would be deserving of judgment. Well, there are consequences that happen. And we get to figure out where do we stand in it and what can we do to avoid the consequences and judgment of things that would bring consequences and judgment. That Ezekiel 14:13 talks about why there will be consequences to ancient Israel. It is because of persistent unfaithfulness. That's the words, persistent unfaithfulness. And we can ask ourselves, is America in the state of persistent unfaithfulness? Well, it sure seems possible, doesn't it? In fact, most of us would say yes. And then we kind of have to figure out what that means. Will it be judgment or will it be discipline? Let's see, discipline is Hebrews 12:11, and it talks about no judgment, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. However, discipline yields a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Well, of course, we wonder about what's coming, and of course, we don't like discipline or judgment or anything like that. But can you see it's coming? I do. I see it that way. And I wonder if the shortages that we are experiencing are a part of it. Right now, there's shortages of meat and toilet paper and paper towels. Why, I heard there was shortages of wire hangers that the dry cleaners use. Just all sorts of things. Even, well, you know about the computer chips. We cannot build new cars just now because of the computer chip shortage. And I know there have been shortages of canning supplies and long-term foods. And so we just are on the edge of something. That's what it's looking like. And now there's shortages because of the container ships off the coast of California. It's getting pretty close to 100 container ships, all waiting to be unloaded. That's like 500,000 shipping containers that have things to be distributed in our and all over our country. That's a lot of materials that we are not having the benefit of being able to buy. So is there a shortage coming? I would not be surprised. I do not see why there is a problem with unloading the ships or unloading the storage containers. But you know, the evidence is out there. Close to 100 container ships off the coast of California. Something is going on, and we can only wonder about why. Who would benefit from such a backup anyway? Well, I do think of if our United States population in general is feeling distress or discomfort, then we would call upon our great big government to do something about it. And you know, if enough people do, maybe our government will do something about it. And they would say, okay, we'll take over, we'll do the stuff, but you have to give up some of your freedoms. I mean, that's been the pattern. That's been the pattern, and it could happen again. It's the nature of government to want more power. And somehow people want the safety of, well, the supplies, the food, and the comfort. So we just have to see what's going to happen. I know that there are people all over the world that want power, and they are doing whatever they have to get it. And I think of China. Oh, in China, there's struggles. For instance, Xi Jinping, who is the president for life of China, well, he certainly is trying to consolidate power. And there are people who say he wants to be just like Mao Zedong, Chairman Mao. He had so much power. Well, Xi Jinping, president of China, is trying to consolidate his power. And you can see the signs of it by the interviews that have gone on and by the house arrests that have gone on. A lot of people know who Jack Ma is. He is known because of being in charge of Alibaba and in charge of the Ant Group. Well, anyway, there was a while there where he had not been heard from for about a month. And there were reports that he had been placed under arrest, and probably he was under house arrest. But, you know, things don't get talked about in China, so we don't really know. But it was one of those amazing things that after Jack Ma was being seen again, it was told that he had given half of his net worth to charities in China. Now, his net worth is listed about $39 billion. And it's interesting that about that same time, other billionaires were gone from public view, and other billionaires had given half of their net worth to various Chinese charities. So what's going on? Is this the president Xi Jinping consolidating his power? Well, it's a sort of a pattern that we've seen in history, and we know that it happens, especially in communist countries, that when there is an underling, somebody who can be dominated, the strong man will say they must demonstrate their loyalty or they will be eliminated. And after you see a few people eliminated, you decide you're going to cooperate. That's just the way it works. So, an example of that probably happening in China is there was another billionaire, a singer and actress by the name of Xiao Wei. She was the number one popular person in China. And suddenly, about a month ago, she was just plain gone. Her name was not on the media anymore. Her music was not to be found. Nothing about her was left. It was completely gone. And you can just kind of guess if that billionaire, Xiao Wei, had been told that you must submit to the system, or you're gone. And you know what? She was gone. And you can bet that every billionaire in China knew about that. I just think it's a good idea to remember that power corrupts, and absolute Power corrupts absolutely. That's the truth all over the world. So aren't you glad that we live in America? What a wonderful system we have. We have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights, and we live in America. Hoorah! Well, we have known that there are people who have a different view. That has been going on in history. That goes on in America, too. They have a different view, and they might call themselves communists and socialists, and they are allowed to exist in the United States. I have known communists and socialists in the United States. I certainly don't agree with them, but they are what they are. By the way, those founders of communism, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, they used communism and socialism interchangeably in their writings, and we seem to have redefined that as communist belonging to an agrarian society where the farming takes place, and we have come to decide that socialism is used for a industrialized society. That's just the way it's developed. Well, don't we know? There's a lot of things that look like trouble coming right here in America. And you can ask, why would trouble come to America? Well, part of it is because we're not following God. And part of it is, like Hosea 4:1 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge that is being referred to is a lack of knowledge about God. Well, that's what I see. So I would say that if people feared God, they would not have to look at the other concepts. Knowing God is fully all a person needs. You don't need to know other philosophies and ways of doing things. Knowing God is completely fulfilling. But those other concepts, they try to get our attention, or you might say seduce us, and take away our time and our will and our emotions and our money. That's just what goes on. I was listening to a video, and I'm going to talk about some of the concepts in it. A video by Dana Ashley that was put out just a few days ago, a week ago, and it was about, the subject of the video was about a 1961 book by Dr. Biderman. It was titled The Manipulation of Human Behavior, and there were 8 points that were discussed. These are the factors that were used to influence human behavior. 1. Isolation. 2. Self-focus. 3. Humiliation. 4. Enforcement of trivial demands. 5. Create exhaustion. 6. Threats. 7. Create a nonsensible series of changes. And that includes good things and bad. And 8, demonstrate so very much omnipotence that it is obvious that resistance is futile. Well, isn't it interesting? And isn't it obvious that every one of these points were employed during the current COVID crisis? Think about that one. So I'm going to go over them with a few thoughts. 1, isolation. See, along that line, It's a powerful tool. And if you think of what solitary confinement does in a prison or a military circumstance, or you can just notice that we have had a sort of isolation as we have had lockdowns or quarantines in our home. Then number two, a focus on self. And that just happens automatically when you are in a lockdown situation, when you have no people coming around. You think about your own self. It's just a natural thing. And there is an increasing sense of isolation when you put masks on everyone, because we are separated by the human element of seeing what the emotions and expressions and communication are. So masks could also be an element of isolation and self-focus. Okay, three, humiliation. And in a way, wearing a mask does a sense of humiliation and degradation, because it removes a portion of your identity, which is your face. And if you think about ancient cultures, there were slaves that were forced to wear a mask. And that has been a part of those cultures. And yes, you can even notice that Islamic culture forces women to cover their face. So that's an interesting little part. Okay, number four. Trivial demands. Enforce trivial demands that are not logical. That just shows that you are in charge. Number five is create exhaustion. And that exhaustion can be created with no physical activity, just by having a mental exhaustion of having to follow all these rules that don't make sense. Number six, to have threats presence. If you have the presence of a threat, it creates anxiety and despair. So that's an example of what the threats are. And if you look at what's going on today, we are threatened that if you don't wear your mask, you're going to jail. If you don't do this, you're going to be fined. If you don't do that. See, these are all threats that create anxiety. And we all know this one other one, this other threat that has been publicized all the time, day after day. We have a constant barrage of COVID cases on the news. And we have a constant barrage of the number of COVID deaths. So these are things that create anxiety and, in a sense, despair. You know how many people have been threatened with fines and threatened with jail. So these threats create anxiety. Okay, number seven. You create changes that do not make any sense. Or they kind of make sense and don't. And a part of that is you create restrictions and then you relax restrictions. And you can even have rewards. And all that in an arbitrary sense, where you can never tell what's coming, whether it's going to get tougher or it's going to relax, or if you're going to get a reward. Those things demonstrate your authority. And back to number eight is to demonstrate your omnipotence. And that means you're in charge. Whatever you says goes. The authorities are in charge. And if you demonstrate resistance, well, you're not going to win. See, that's a part of it. Resistance is futile. Well, every one of those points are, in a sense, demonstrating power and omnipotence. And so it's another way of projecting authority. And that's what's going on. So I'm going to go over those again, those 8 points. Isolation, self-focus, humiliation, trivial demands, create exhaustion, have threats, create nonsensible changes, and 8, demonstrate omnipotence. So you can see these are things that have gone on in the current crisis. And what do you think we could do to counteract these situations? Well, I think of the power of God and the power of, well, loving God, God loving you, you loving your neighbor, and your neighbor loving you. Doesn't love overcome all things? Well, just consider that great commandment on Matthew 22:38. I'll say it short. It's love God and love your neighbor. So all these things are going on right now, right in front of us. Is it to manipulate the mind? Is it to manipulate human behavior? Well, of course it is. But someday we have to figure out what we're going to do about it. And what will happen if we submit or if we don't. I know one of the things that all these 8 points are, in a sense, doing is reducing the human element of communication. And what would we do if we could not personally communicate with someone? See, that's something that is talked about sometime with a crisis of having our internet go down or our electricity go down. And then what would we have to do? We might have to talk to our neighbors. Hey, neighbor, do you have a little can of something? Do you have a little flavoring? We're all out of salt. Do you have some salt, some pepper? I'll trade you some batteries for this or for that. You know, if we had to talk to our neighbors, just think how that would actually change life for us. It would be a change. And we are living in a time when there is great deception. And our Bible tells us over and over again to be not deceived. It also says to put not your faith in a man. So we do have a tendency to look up to someone, a leader, and put our faith in the man. A lot of people did that. Let's start with history. With Saul in ancient Egypt, with David, and then with Solomon. Those were ancient rulers. And nowadays, there's a lot of people putting their faith in that President Trump. So, well, I just think of, I think of that thing that President Franklin Roosevelt said, that you can be sure that if it happened, it happened on purpose. I know I said it quicker, but that's okay. And that's a part of the manipulation that goes on. And we have to ask ourselves, with whatever is going on in front of us, is it truth or is it manipulation? Was Trump being president, was that a manipulation? Was the current administration of Biden and Harris, is that a manipulation? Was that all planned out? And I don't mean I know. I just mean we should look at it being perhaps true. And if it is true, what do you think we should do about it? Well, I will go back to that Matthew 22:38, love God and love your neighbor. And a part of that is talking with your neighbor, having a communication with God, with your neighbor. And if we ever get into the position where we have to say, hey, I'll trade you a little sugar for a little flour, or batteries for needles and thread, or paper for school. Well, if we ever get into that position, we are going to have personal relationships. And that is something we might as well develop now. I think it'll do everybody good to have that personal relations going on around us. Yes, in our personal life, in our family, in our work life, all of it. I know there's people who think that whatever trouble is coming, we don't have to worry about it because we're going to be raptured right out of here. Well, we may be, but if you look at what Scripture says, it certainly is not given in a way that we can understand it. We have to make little gymnastics in Scripture to say that it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. We just don't know about the time frame. We just don't know. I remember for me, I had read the Bible 3 times before I talked to any pastor, before I had a good sense of the rapture. I didn't know that. And so I can say in my experience, just from reading the Bible, you certainly don't believe in a rapture. You don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Yes, there is a rapture. Its timing is very uncertain. And we get trained to learn that there is a timing. But we could have some pretty great difficulties all along the way as things go on. And it does talk about famine in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So famine is one thing we can do something about. Maybe we can't do anything about earthquakes and war, but we certainly can for famine, and that means get your supplies together. I also think of Matthew 24:37, in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, we can kind of guess what's coming, and I hope we all do by getting prepared for something. Get prepared for a natural disaster. Get prepared for, sure, tribulation if you want, or persecution. There's things that are happening, and we don't quite know what they are. Well, I certainly do invite people to write me, and I thank you for writing me in the past, or for your donations. I very much appreciate that. But if you would like a copy of my free preparedness pamphlet, then please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And remember, you can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.